You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Friscup. This message was recorded on January 29, 2025, and is titled, Watch God Go. So grab your Bible, turn to the book of Nehemiah, and let's join Steve and the message.
And we're watching the impossible. And if you can't see God moving in this stuff, you should call out to Jesus and see if you can't get saved. Because God's answering prayers, and we're standing in it. All of you would agree, 4 years ago, there's a lot of us really frustrated. A lot of us didn't believe we'd ever have another fair and free election in this United States of America. We were holding on to the knot on the rope and hoping that somehow we'd still hand the knot to our children and our children's children, but we could feel it slipping away. And the whole process was so overwhelming. And the only people that were escaping it was the people who never tried to figure anything out. Let me tell you something tonight, and I want you to remember this. This will be the most important thing I say all year. You start seeking information and use the information that you seek and find. Don't just sit and wait for information to come to you. That's how Christians do it. They sit and wait on information to come to them. You go find it. You go find it. Then it'll be yours. You find what's necessary. You find out. Don't just take what comes to you. You go find out what you need. That way you'll know. That's why I get to stand up here every week, because I don't just stand around looking for stuff to come to me, and not much does. I got to go find it. When you do, when you're seeking, just like we've been talking, you'll find, and when you find, you'll know, and when you know, you'll know what to do next. And right now, we're seeing the hand of God doing everything that I've prayed for, I've watched my wife pray for, we've prayed for as a family, we've believed for, we've talked about. It's happening. So when I see a mama in tears grab her son or whoever and scream and praise the Lord, he heard my prayers. I know exactly what she's talking about. I got hope. I got hope for the revival of this country. I got hope for the maintaining of freedom, where every man, woman, and child has a right to life and liberty, the pursuit of happiness, the ownership of a state. It's the answer of prayers. But as I get ready to get in the Word in Nehemiah tonight, Nehemiah 1, I want to share something the Lord showed me this morning early. I was laying there in bed. And he was just showing me a lot of stuff, and here's another thing that you need to remember and remember forever. If this country, if this United States of America, a nation now with generations that have no idea about the Constitution, Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence, have no idea about our history. Let me do a little side note to history, because Oklahoma's dealing with this right now. People want to bring the Bible back into your school system, bring religion. You know, Christians are so nauseating sometimes. We want to have Bible class in our schools. You better be careful about that, because then you're going to have Quran school too. That's not constitutional. Do you know what works really good? American history. True American history, because God has been in our history. Jesus Christ has been in our history since before it ever happened. So when men couldn't read the Bible for themselves, they left and went to Holland from England in 1950, or in the 1500s, I mean, in the 1500s, by the 1600s, they're coming to a new land, all by answered prayer. Praise God, we made it to the new land. They didn't have Siri, they didn't have GPS, they didn't have Google, and they made it anyhow. And they began to worship God. So if we would do American history, then you can't escape Christianity. You can't escape Islam either, because they had Muslimmen. They had Islamic pirates from the very beginning. The whole time we wrestled with them. We couldn't even get our own people back being held hostage in the 1800s because we're in the second war with Britain and we don't have enough money or resources to even buy our guys back off the Islamic pirates. So go ahead, let's teach Islam while we're doing Christianity. Christianity brought forth a free nation. Islam's been trying to disrupt it since day one. Period. So that's just a little side note right there. So, where was I on all that? I got so far off to the side. They think Donald Trump's bad at chasing around the mountain 42 times. Boy, it's a big mountain, though. So, anyhow, I don't know where I was headed with that right quick there today, but what we're seeing here is we're seeing the answered prayers. We're seeing the things happening. Oh, I know what I was going to tell you. I know exactly where I was going. The only way, thank you, Lord. See, you got to have the help of the Lord. You can't do this, especially if your short term is shot and your long term is worse. You got to have the help of the Lord. The only way we're ever going to put this country on a good, solid, right path, our nation, is when we come to original intent of the Constitution, Bill of Rights, and Declaration of Independence as the foundational thing for our politic. That's it. That's how you get this nation in the right spot. You can have all the prayer meetings you want to, but until we give the Constitution, Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence, the authority that they deserve by original intent, this country will always be in a little bit of a disarray. Now, the only way you're going to fix the largest branch of government, which is we the people, is by giving the Word of God an original intent, full authority in our lives. When the people begin to submit and adhere to the Word of God, I'm not talking about 20 minutes a week of somebody else telling you what they think. Or if you come here, I'm not talking about an hour and a half of me yapping at you. I'm talking about go home, open that book, get you one without a commentary, and read it. And if you don't get it, read it again. And if you don't get it, read it again. If you don't get it by the fifth or sixth time, pray over it this time, then read it again. Read it till it's yours. And when we set our minds on the original intent of God, not the manipulation of a mammonized religion, then we the people, the largest branch of government in this democracy, in this great republic, will become like-minded, will become the majority. God will rule in our nation. Glad is the nation whose God is the Lord. Don't ever forget that the politics of this nation should be subject to the authority of those three documents. And the largest branch, we the people, should be under the authority of the Word of God. And you watch what happens. No weapon forged against us will prevail. And Israel will come to a full knowledge of Messiah. You mark that down. Nehemiah, we taught out of Nehemiah way back yonder when COVID was just getting going good. And Lord led us to Nehemiah when we used some of it here on Wednesday nights. And we taught out of it on Tuesday morning. And one of the things that we've done here now for a long, long time, chapter and verse. And it's been amazing just going through our Bible chapter and verse, how every day, every verse, every chapter has some kind of significance to what's going on in the times. So when I was laying in bed this morning, I was a little late getting up. Robin, she rolled over. She said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm just laying here listening to the Lord," because he was telling me about the three branches, the three documents and all the stuff. And that was all coming from God. It's how I know that he's helping Donald Trump. Because you can't do this on your own. Not if you're a golfer and a team roper. You got to have some help. So I said, "Lord, where should I go tonight with this?" And he said, "Go back to Nehemiah, man." He said, me and Nehemiah went through this. And he said, "I want you to go see what Nehemiah did first. And then what they did later on." So at the first, it said in verse 4, chapter 1 of Nehemiah, "So it was when I heard these words," they was talking. Let me back up. "It came to pass in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan in the citadel, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, 'The survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down. Its gates are burned with fire.'" Got a lot of fire going on, ain't we? "So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven." Now, before I read the rest of this, for those of you that have been here the whole time, it's because of the demise of our nation and droughts in our area, in hopes of peace and prosperity where we live for the last 15 years. That's how I learned about Passover. That's how I learned about fasting. That's how I learned about the trickery of religion. I wanted God's attention because we needed his assistance. So many times over the last decade and a half, this little congregation and everybody on the other side that participates, we've learned together about Passover. We've learned together the importance of communion as a family and the importance of our kitchen tables. We've learned together how to pray, fast, and believe for one common cause, that God would hear our prayers in this great United States of America. We wept and we mourned. Every day when we'd hear the news, our hearts would drop and we'd be in distress. When they tell you you couldn't gather, when they told you you couldn't go to work, when they told you you had to take some unknown substance into your body because some short guy said so. When they told you you had to wear a mask to fly on an airplane. We stayed in distress. But as a group, we learned how to find Psalms 91. And we read Nehemiah together, and we sought the word of the Lord to help us through one of the most difficult times in my lifetime. We saw the Lord answer our prayers. We have a horse sale next week in Leveland. Praise God, he heard my prayers, heard her prayers. And standing right here, he told me it was time for the Exodus while I was teaching out of Exodus 12. And learning about the Passover. He said, "It's time to go. Get your clothes on. Go." one of the biggest blessings in my family in our entire lifetime. We get to this, what we do for a living, and we've gotten where we enjoy it so much, and we get to do it together, and we look so forward to what we get to do. I don't know how much money we make. I don't really care, but I just know that I love getting to do what I do. And Lauren, you've been working down there for about a year. Do we look like we're having a good time? Almost. All right, I'm going to step it up a notch this week. That, you know, that's what blessed really is. Contentment and happiness has nothing to do with how much you have or how much you don't have. And so right there, that's just personal testimony. God heard our prayers, and right in the middle of the hardship, right in the middle of the wreck, we wept and we prayed, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, everything's working out really good. It's only by the hand of God. So here's what Nehemiah did. And he said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We've acted very corruptly against you. We've not kept the commandments, the statutes, the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I'll scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest parts of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Now, these are your servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your great power and your strong hand. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name, and let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Nehemiah prayed. Next thing you know, he found favor with the king, and the king said, yep, you can go. Just go read the rest of it. Great story. Yep, you can go. Well, I need some notes so I can have free passage past the governors. He said, okay, how long are you going to be gone? Well, not that long. Was it 54 days? 52 days or 54 days? 50-something days. They reconstructed the wall. It was amazing. When the enemies were attacking, men stood up by faith with swords in one hand, the word of God in another. Each man had his own spot that he was to build and to tend to and to protect at night. Just read the story. It's amazing. In 50-something days, in 50-something days, the wall was built. Jerusalem was restored. Why would you do all that work and then want to give it away again? You don't. So how do you keep it? How are you going to keep this nation, this community of people, how are you going to keep it going? How are you going to get the people on the right track? You see, this would have never got all jacked up had the people not got on the wrong track. It's always about the people. We the people, 52 days, is that right? Yeah, I knew it was 50-something. But look, we want to blame it on the government or the whatever. We, you know, all the time throw it off on somebody else. You know, the Israelites did that to Moses all the time. But if we'll just remember, it's always we the people, we the people, we the people, we the people, we the people. So when the Lord told me that this morning, he said the only way that we the people will ever get reconciled to where we're supposed to be as a nation, we have to give full authority to the word of God again in our lives. Look over here in chapter 8. Chapter 8, when the seventh month came, the children of Israel were in their cities. Now this is about during the Feast of Tabernacles. So that's why I think it's important over this time, you know, that we've learned here as a fellowship, we've learned about these three feasts, the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles there in the fall, early fall. We also, Passover is so very, very important. That's key to everything. 50 days later, the church is born. Huh, that's a kind of a neat little connection. 50 days later, a temple that was totally destroyed is now resurrected by the outpouring of the Holy Ghost at Pentecost. Wow, that's pretty cool. And so, it was the seventh month. He said, now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in the front of the water gate. It has nothing to do with Richard Nixon. For all you older people in here. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. You see, the law had been eradicated from their society. They no longer studied the law. And he said, bringing the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday before the men and women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. I wonder if I stood up on the courthouse steps at any given day and read the Bible from morning till noon, from daylight till noon, I wonder how many takers I'd have. You see, every time we come together in here, I read the Bible. And a lot of it. So what's everybody else doing on Wednesday night? I'm going to say I read the Bible at least as much as anybody in town who's got a microphone. Well, you don't like to sit here while a guy reads the Bible? You think I go too long? Take too long? It's uncomfortable. It's not fun. What's the problem? What is the problem? The problem is we don't realize this is the answer. You see, if you're just going to take the information that's handed to you, that's brought to you, you can only handle so much. So the only way you're going to really get this is you're going to have to go looking for it. Okay, so if I was interested in maintaining a nation who is now building the wall, what do you think the answer would be out of God's word? Why would God tell me that the word of God is what would reconcile the largest group of the largest part of a branch of government, we the people, the authority of the word of God? When you go read the rest of this and you realize that these people wept and mourned and repented at the word of God, at the law of God, they submitted themselves to the authority. They continued to read this word of God publicly. It was the only way to set everybody on the same path. It's the only way of knowing right from wrong. It's the only way to do this. Our founding fathers, our forefathers knew that the Christian faith and the Word of God was the only hope for a civil society that would be a free nation, one nation under God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It said that when Daniel Webster was Secretary of State, he was the 14th and the 19th Secretary of State. And his office sat right off the rotunda, right just... You got Pocahontas and you got the guy signing the declaration. they're baptizing her over here, and then right off over here, you go around this, and there's the Secretary of State used to be in that room right over here. And they said Daniel Webster was quite an orator, and he would read the Bible, chapter and verse, out loud. And as many as 1,000 people had gathered while he was reading the Bible without a microphone, without any ambiance.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.